sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace to you and peace from God, who never leaves us. Amen. Heather and I were having an argument this week. Happy anniversary to Heather. It's our 23rd anniversary today. Yeah, but still, we were having this argument this week. And at the end of, let's just call it a crescendo of her points, I make this snide remark. And she responds, sarcastically and exhausted, "Thanks for listening to every word I've just been saying for the last 5 minutes." What I had said, I'm not going to share what it was and what it was about, but what I said seemed to indicate that I had not heard a single word she was saying and that I was still insistent on my point, completely deaf to her message, to her concerns or logic. Does this sound familiar? One commentator, Pastor Shanthia Monroe, calls Romans chapter 5, so I'm preaching on Romans chapter 6, our reading for today. She calls Romans chapter 5 a crescendo on grace. And then we start chapter 6 today with this snide remark. I mean, it's got a question mark at the end, but it's a remark. As if we haven't been listening at all. Grace gushing in all its Pauline beauty and form in chapter 5. And then, so can we just do whatever we want since we're saved by grace? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? I mean, well, if what I do doesn't save me, if it's really grace that saves me, does it matter how I live? Completely missing Paul's message. Thanks for listening, Paul must be saying to the dear Romans. Thanks for listening to every word I've just been saying for the last 5 minutes. No! And then he goes on to drive it home even further and more vividly in our passage for today. Being baptized is dying. It's dying to all the sin and brokenness that's in us. If you're justified by grace through faith apart from works on account of Jesus Christ, that, by the way, the protest song of the Augsburg Confession in the 16th century, which, whose anniversary we're also celebrating today in 1530. We celebrate today the Augsburg Confession of this 1530. If you're saved by grace apart from works on account of Jesus Christ, justified by grace through faith, then continuing in sin, staying the same, isn't even a choice. You're a completely different person. You are dead to sin. You died with Christ so that now you are only life in Christ. Paul might say that there actually are stupid questions. No, you can't just do whatever you want having been baptized into Christ. That's impossible. That part of you has died. Being baptized is dying. Dying to sin. Did you know that old baptismal fonts in old churches used to be shaped as coffins? There's a few contemporary ones, actually, today. I found one in Ohio, I think it was a Presbyterian church in Ohio. It's a reminder. Shaping the baptismal font like that is a reminder that we died to sin. And the priests even used to say, I apologize if this is triggering, but they would say, I kill you in the name of the Father. I kill you in the name of the Son. I kill you in the name of the Holy Spirit. We don't say that anymore, I think, for obvious reasons. But a lot of my mentors have said that baptism has lost its teeth. You know, it's been declawed. Or lost its tread, you know, like tread on the bottom of hiking boots. Baptism's just gone flat. I mean, it's a nice ritual that the family comes out for. Pretty benign, though. and it doesn't do much more than warrant a cake afterwards. Friends, I'm not trying to reinsert the language of I kill you in the name of the triune God. That obviously is problematic on one hand. But I'm sharing this history and this imagery and this language in hopes of renewing its import, of refreshing its gravity. What does it mean to journey through this life in the baptismal promises of God? I keep thinking about, rather than sharper teeth or bigger tread on boots, I keep thinking about baptism as actually removing the shoes. Walking with feet touching the earth, a certain vulnerability and a much deeper connection with the world. Have you ever just gone for a walk barefoot? I mean, we don't really do it anymore. We keep ourselves protected from the world. Katie went on a mission trip along with Micah this last week. They went to Tennessee and they built houses with the youth group from Lord of Life. And Astrid was on the trip as well. And Katie was telling me about this trip. And, you know, vulnerability happens on these kinds of adventures. And there was a moment that one of the kids got a little bit vulnerable and shared that he was afraid to be vulnerable because he didn't want to appear weak. And Katie said to him, there's nothing more strong than being vulnerable. And there's nothing more weak than building up walls. We should just leave it at that. Let Katie preach the sermon here today. Strength is in vulnerability. Strength is in, if you will, that image of walking barefoot and touching down, feeling the earth, feeling the pain of this world. I think about baptism as removing shoes. Paul's crescendo of grace means that everything has changed. It means we do things differently. As barefoot, Pastor Dan Erlander says, walking wet is what it means to walk through this life baptized. It leaves kind of a trail of a puddle behind us as we walk. It means we don't mercilessly pursue the same things that this world pursues. It means we don't operate with the same graceless rigidity as this world operates. It puts us in a new light, the light of faith, the light of Christ. That's what Paul is getting at. So to ask the question, can we just keep on as before? It sounds absurd, right? No. Having encountered this living God made known to us in Jesus, it's connecting more deeply. Or let me put it another way. I'm just bombarding you with metaphors here, but it's like having your first gourmet meal. I don't know if you've had this experience. Your first gourmet meal after a lifetime of eating TV dinners or fast food, having your first gourmet meal with fresh vegetables and quality, locally harvested ingredients. After a lifetime of eating just, you know, microwave stuff or fast food stuff or stuff that's just made with all kinds of processed ingredients, you can't go back and think the same way if you've had that experience. You just can't. You are forever changed. You can go back and have that food. You can go back to fast food and TV dinners, but you've had an experience and you are forever changed, and some things you just can't untaste. I'm pointing to the altar. Some things you just can't untaste. And some waters, I'm pointing to the font. Some waters you just can't unfeel, unknow, undrench from. Those waters cover us, friends in Christ. Paul wanted the Romans and us to know that we have been changed forever in this encounter, this death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. And now you are only life in Christ. As a response, all we can do is respond to that. We look to the baptismal covenant. All we can do is respond, that is, live among God's faithful people. hear the word of God and celebrate that holy meal. All we can do is respond and proclaim the good news of God in Christ through our words and our deeds, even more important. All we can do is respond and serve all people following the example of Jesus. All we can do is respond and strive for justice and peace in all the earths. And sometimes that does cause tensions. As Jesus says in the gospel today, which clearly I'm not preaching about, but that message that it brings conflict. It does bring conflict to respond to this grace of God. It does. It's true. And this is what alive to God in Christ Jesus looks like. Belly full of grace and peace, splashed and sent. Thank you for listening to every word I just said in the last 5 minutes. And thanks be to God for this gift showered down on us again this good day. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.